Good morning. I want to encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Psalms. We're going to study the 55th Psalm this morning, Psalm 55, as we are continuing to study some of the select Psalms and see how they relate to our lives today. We're titling this series, Finding Ourselves in the Psalms. What is a child of God to do when they find that they are facing a trial that they can't seem to overcome? And even worse than that, what is a child to do when they discover that people have talked behind their back, or people that they trusted have plotted against them, or that they have been betrayed? You know, there is a special pain to treachery and betrayal. And that's the theme of Psalm 55. Psalm 55 is sometimes titled The Cry of a Wounded Soul. And that's where David is. That's where we find him as we're studying through this psalm. As we mentioned last week, some of the psalms, we don't know why they were written, or we don't know the circumstances in which they were written. That's not true of the 55th psalm. We can place it with some certainty in a specific place of David's life. The historical setting of this psalm is found in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And this is when David's son Absalom is rebelling against him. David has committed the sin with Bathsheba, and from that point onward, there's a decline in his life. And this is something that comes quickly on the heels of that. David's son Absalom is rebelling against him, trying to take his throne away, which means that David would be put to death in that case. But Absalom has gone even further than that. Absalom has persuaded one of David's counselors, Ahithophel, to join him in his efforts to take the throne away from his father. And so with David's son, and later he learns a trusted advisor against him, David is driven from the palace, and he's subjected to living in the wilderness on the run like a rebel. Now, he did that before when he was running from King Saul, but now David is an older man. Now he has grown children, and once again he finds himself out in the wilderness running for his life. And he knows that this cannot end well. It's going to end one of two ways. Either he is going to die, or his son is going to die. There's no good way out of this. And as he's facing this, we have Psalm 55. We mentioned last week that reading the Psalms, in a lot of ways, it's like reading David's journal. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, we get the facts. We know historically this is what was happening, but in Psalm 55, we get into David's mind. We get into his heart. Was it written while he was on the run? Was it written after everything was over and the dust had settled? We don't know. But these were his thoughts. These were his feelings. This is what he was going through when one of the worst events of his life was unfolding. Now, we may never be chased away from the throne of our kingdom by one of our grown children, but we will find ourselves in those worst moments in our lives. This psalm can help us. This psalm can help us as we're facing those events. We're not going to put any of the text up, we'll save for one verse at the end. We're not going to put any text up. Instead, we're going to have an outline. So I want to encourage you to have your Bible open. And let's go through. This psalm is divided, or we're going to divide it into five sections. Five sections. And we begin by quickly looking at verses 1 through 3 with the appeal that David makes unto God. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint. I moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. We're not going to spend a lot of time looking at this section other than to point out the fact that David's response was correct. He went to God with his problem. He went to God with his problem, and he called upon God to pay attention to him and to listen to what he had to say as he was suffering greatly. We talked about that some last week in Psalm 13 with that psalm for the heart that had no hope. So we'll move on to the next section. In verses 4 through 8, we get some insight into the anguish of David's soul, just what it is that he's going through. Verse 4, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me." David is fleeing for his life, but he also knows he has to deal with the reality that his son is behind all of this. His situation is so grave, he says that his heart is aching within him, that he's fearing for his life, that horror is overwhelming him. He says that fearfulness, in verse 5, "Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me." And when I read that, I think about our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. How everything appeared to be fine until he took Peter, James, and John with him and went further into the garden. And there the text says that his face was altered and he began to be overwhelmed with grief and sorrow. Well, here's David. He's overwhelmed with this grief and this sorrow. And then look at verses 6 through 8. I like verses 6 through 8. "So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." A few years ago, Southwest Airlines had an ad campaign that had the slogan, "Want to get away?" And they had some very humorous commercials where people would find themselves in some very embarrassing situations. And you want to get away? And of course, there's the appeal to that. Do you want to get away? Here's David. "I want to get away. This is so overwhelming. This is so hard. Either I'm going to die or my son's going to die, and I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to face this. If I had wings, I would fly away. I'd get away from this situation." I believe a lot of us have found ourselves right there, if we're honest. A lot of us have found ourselves in situations that if we could have gotten away, we would have. But we know life doesn't work like that. God doesn't allow us to just fly away from our problems. But God gives us the strength that we need to allow us to face and overcome the problems that are before us. But here is David's anguish. And I believe many of us can connect with this. Many of us can say, "Yes, David, I felt that way before too. I'd love to get away." Look at the atrocities that David is experiencing. As he's leaving the city, he's fleeing from Jerusalem. Samuel, the account in Samuel, tells us that he's making his way up to the Mount of Olives, and we're familiar with that from the New Testament and from our Lord, but it's from the Mount of Olives that you can look down upon Jerusalem. And so as he's fleeing, he can turn around and he can look down upon the city, and he knows what's going to be happening there. Look at verses 9 through 11. "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets." David has seen the violence and the strife that this plot of his son has brought upon his beloved city. Absalom has turned Jerusalem into a den of evil and wickedness and deceit and sorrow. And all David can do is watch it unfold. All he can do is step away, distance himself from it as he is fleeing and watch it unfold. And sometimes that happens to us. Sometimes we are powerless to do anything other than to watch as sin impacts the lives of our loved ones. As sin impacts the lives of those that we truly care about. And there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do but watch it. Sometimes, like David, the destruction, the violence, and the evil is the result of someone that we love doing that. And that makes it even harder. That makes it even worse. But David's been there. In this psalm, David is right there watching it. But then look at verses 12 through 14. Verses 12 through 14, the matter with Ahithophel's betrayal is brought in. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. You see, David is experiencing something more painful than just watching the destruction and the evil, the fallout of his son's rebellion against him. He has to deal with the treachery of a close friend. It was not an open, obvious enemy that David was fighting against who had attacked him. Because if that's the case, he says, I could have seen it coming. You know, I keep my enemies at arm's length. I know who they are. And so if they come after me, I can see it and I can prepare. No, it was you. It was my close friend. And you stabbed me in the back. And I had no way to be prepared for that. It was you, the text says. This man was his guide. It was one that he treated as an equal. The New American Standard Version says it was a familiar friend. Familiar friend. One of the blessings of a friend is it's someone that we have who is close to us that we can confide in. And the closer we are to a friend, the more vulnerable we make ourselves to that person because there is that trust there. There's that trust, and so we let our guard down and we make ourselves vulnerable. That really is that special, special pain of betrayal. And that someone that you've given them your trust and you've given them your secrets and you've made yourself vulnerable to them only to find out that they've taken advantage of that and used that and turned that against you. And that's where David is. Our friends learn how to hit us where it hurts. And that's what's happened to David. Now, while this passage is obviously expressing David's sorrow over Absalom, from our vantage point, we can't help but see Jesus and Judas in this passage. Now, in Psalm 41, keep your place in Psalm 55 and go back to Psalm 41. In Psalm 41 and at verse... Psalm 41 and at verse 9. Psalm 41 and verse 9. And by the way, Psalm 55 and Psalm 41 are very similar. They're connected in that they both deal with this same pain and turmoil and especially that pain of treachery. So as we're going through these psalms where it's applicable and possible, I'll try to bring in some other psalms that are very much like the one that we're studying. Psalm 41 and at verse 9 says, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Now this obviously is a prophecy of Judas because Jesus quotes this verse in John chapter 13 and at verse 18 when he announces to the 12, one of you will betray me. So there is that direct connection to Judas in the New Testament. We don't have a direct connection from Psalm 55, 12 through 14, but you have to be blind not to see it. This is foreshadowing what Jesus is going to go through with Judas. Remember when Judas came to betray him? And Jesus says, friend, referring to Judas as friend. Are you here to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? That word friend is connected with this treachery in both Psalm 41 and Psalm 55 as well. So here's what David is witnessing. Here's what David is experiencing. The city that he loves is in turmoil. His life is in turmoil. He's been stabbed in the back by a very close friend. So what do you do about that? Well, David, the man after God's own heart, knows the proper way to respond. He took the right action. He turned to God. Look at verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, because they do not change. Therefore, they do not fear God. David didn't take matters into his own hands. I mean, he's the king. Yes, there is this revolt, there is this rebellion, but he could still muster enough troops. He could go in and take care of this matter himself. But this is his son. This is his son. He's going to let God take care of this. He's going to trust in God. And of course, that's what the scriptures teach us as Christians that we must do. We're not to return evil for evil. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21 makes it very clear. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord, and we let God take care of these matters. Yes, even those matters in our lives where someone has wronged us and hurt us. What do? We let God take care of that matter. That's what David did. David has no doubt that God will hear and answer his prayer. Again, look at the confidence here in verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. It's going to turn out all right. I know God has this. He will save me. Verse 18, he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Now, that's stated in the past tense. Is David here citing from memory, I know God can do this because he's done it in the past? Maybe so. Or is David so confident in God's deliverance now that he can speak of it as if it's already happened? That's a possibility as well. Either way, look at the faith that he has. Look at the confidence that he has. Although his world has literally fallen apart, he's still hanging on to God. He's still clinging to God with incredible confidence. God not only hears his prayer, but God also hears what's being done to him. Verse 19, God will hear and afflict them. So God will hear. He knows what's being plotted against me. He knows what Ahithophel has done. He's going to reap what he sows. God's going to take care of this matter. But while we're here, look at verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. Have you ever been there where your world is in such a state that you're turning to God all through the day? God, help me. God, give me strength. I don't know how to handle this. Help me. And in the morning, at noon, all throughout the day, we're turning to God and leaning on God in prayer. God wants us to pray unto him, and I believe sometimes God allows these things to happen to us to draw us closer to him in prayer, to draw us closer unto him. But yes, we found ourselves there in verse 17, haven't we? Where we needed God, not just every day, but throughout the day. Verses 20 and 21, David gives a further description of those who are tormenting him, especially, I believe, Ahithophel. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken the covenant. That's what Ahithophel did to him. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Here he thought Ahithophel was a trusted friend, that Ahithophel had David's best interest in heart, but he didn't. All this time, he was ready for David to fall. All this time, he was looking for an opportunity to cause David to fall. And how hard that is for David to learn that and to hear that. Well, finally, I want you to look at the admonition that David gave. When it all comes to a conclusion, here's what David has learned. And I'll put this verse up for us. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. I read someone refer to the Psalms as like a string of pearls. That the Psalms are like a string of pearls. That as you go through the Psalms, you find these verses, you find these statements that are made that are just another pearl to put on that string. And I believe here, Psalm 55 and verse 22 is one of those pearls. This is a good refrigerator verse, isn't it? It's a good verse for all occasions. Matter of fact, this is a verse that we have had up in our house for several years now. And just it's been written on a chalkboard and we've just never erased it. We love this verse. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. The New Testament equivalent of this is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And we've talked about these verses in the past here at Knollwood. We understand what it means to cast. If you have a problem, if you have a burden, if you have a care, cast doesn't mean you fold it up and you put it in your pocket and you keep it. Cast doesn't even mean you drop it because it's still right there. If you've ever been fishing, you know what it means to cast. You get rid of it. The way you get rid of it is exactly what David did here. You take it to God in prayer. You talk to God about it. You get it out. And you talk to God about it in prayer. And you cast that burden upon the Lord. And what's the promise? He shall sustain you. He shall sustain you. He shall strengthen you. He shall give you what you need to face that trial. He who stands with God stands firm in the face of adversity. I remember when I was a little boy, whenever I was with my dad, I never had anything to be afraid of. Now, as an adult now, I can look back and I can see, yeah, there may have been some things my dad couldn't have protected me from, but as a little boy, that was nonsense. My dad was bigger than any problem I would ever have. And as long as I was with him, I was okay. As long as we're with our Heavenly Father, we're okay. As long as we're with him, and we're casting our care upon him, he's going to give us the strength to stand and not be moved. Like the strength of a mountain. Casting our cares upon him, he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And that's definitely something we can take away from this psalm. And something that can help us. So as we come to the close of this entry in David's journal, for this psalm, there's some things that we learn. This psalm obviously has application to David's sorrow over the rebellion of his son and the treachery of his friend Ahithophel. However, Jesus is clearly seen in this psalm as it foreshadows the pain of the treachery and the betrayal that would come from Judas. In this psalm, we learn that you and I are not the only ones to ever experience pain like this. The man after God's own heart experienced the betrayal of a close friend, and our Lord experienced it as well. They made it through, and we can make it through, even through this special kind of pain. From this psalm, we're reminded that God knows and God cares about the grief and the sorrow that we feel. And He cares about us, and He invites us to cast our burdens upon Him in prayer. God does not allow us to escape the troubles of life. Remember earlier in the psalm, David says, "Oh, that I had wings and I could fly away." That's not the answer. What is the answer? Verse 22, "I don't need wings, I have God. God will sustain me." So God doesn't allow us to escape the troubles of life. But God reminds us, "I'm here, and they're not going to move you if you stand with me, if you abide in me." And this psalm reminds us that Jesus, our mediator, our advocate, our high priest, has personally experienced this kind of pain. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And so when we go to Jesus, even with this specific, special kind of pain, Jesus can say, "I know how you feel, and we'll make it through." So we can see David in this psalm, and we can see Jesus in this psalm. I ask, as we're going through this series with all of these psalms, have you found yourself in this psalm? I believe there are a number of verses here where we can say yes. Yes, I've been there before. Let's remember this psalm, and let's remember our way back to it when we need it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your presence in our lives. We're thankful that you know what's happening with us and that you care about what is happening to us. And even in our darkest of hours, we're thankful that we can turn to you, that we can cast our care upon you. We can come to you through a Savior, through a mediator who has experienced the things that we've experienced. And help us to draw comfort from that. Help us to learn how to trust in you more and to truly cast our cares upon you and to rely upon the strength that you provide us. In Jesus' name we humbly pray, amen.